Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU's Women's Initiative. I am Rebecca Belazon, and today we are learning Shoftim, Parak Chaf Aleph. The parak begins that the men of Israel swore in mitzvah. This actually happens before the battle with Binyamin, and they said, "No man from us shall give his daughter to Binyamin for a wife," meaning we will not allow our daughters to marry anyone from Sheva Binyamin. According to the Radak, they set up Binyamin as though they are excommunicated. They would not allow them to marry anymore because of the terrible thing they did by not handing over the wicked people and the sinners. Or perhaps because Binyamin acted in such a terrible manner, they were deemed unworthy of marrying the rest of Bnei Israel. And the people came to Beisel, and they sat there and they until the evening before God, and they raised their voices and they wept profusely. And they said, "Why, O Lord God of Israel, has this come to pass in Israel, that one tribe of Israel should be missing today? Why do Bnei Israel regret their actions at this point? Perhaps they did not anticipate what they would do or the toil of war." The Ramban states that they recognized their error and they realized they should have told Binyamin to take care of this. According to the Abarbanel, they're actually mourning the 40,000 casualties that they had. And they continue to say, "If we would have lost these people while conquering an enemy, okay, we would have been silent. But we suffered in order to get to a terrible end. We lost all of these people. And in the end, what did we accomplish? We lost almost an entire shevet from Klal Yisrael, and therefore they're mourning the casualties that they lost for no reason." According to the Metuta, Bnei Israel are asking Hashem, "Why did this fault happen to us? To eliminate a tribe from Bnei Israel, meaning what can we do to save the shevet?" And it was on the next day that the people rose early and they built their an altar and they offered shlamim and olos, burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the Radak asks, "Why did they need to build a mizbeach? There already was a mizbeach in this place. Whether you say it was actually Beisel or whether it was Shiloh, either way there was a mizbeach in these places." And he explains that they built a new mizbeach in order to seek out God, like we found in other places, because of the terrible thing that happened to them with Binyamin. Therefore, they built a mizbeach, they brought karbanos, and they cry out before God and ask why this tragedy of losing a shevet occurred. According to the Abarbanel, they brought an ola because Hashem gave Binyamin in their hands, and they brought a shlamim to make shalom, to make peace between them and their father in heaven, because they understood that since they had lost so many people, since they lost this first two battles, it must be that they had some sin in their midst, and therefore they required a shlamim. Pasuk Hey, and the children of Israel said, "Who is there among all the tribes of Israel that did not come up to the Lord in the assembly?" Meaning, who did not come to war? Because there was a great oath, there was a shvuah taken, that anyone who does not come to mitzvah, they would die. This we'll see is a group of people in Yavesh Gilad, and according to the Abarbanel, they felt the need to take care of these people for a number of reasons. First of all, because of this oath. An oath that is made in such a public forum cannot then be permitted. Number two, they did this as a protective measure so that such a thing would never happen again. That when Bnei Yisrael summon all the soldiers together, that a community can just decide not to show up and not to participate. We can't have such a thing among Klal Yisrael. Number three, because anyone who was from this group did not make the oath to marry Binyamin, and therefore the women in that group could then marry Binyamin. And number four, when Bnei Yisrael saw the bad that occurred, whether the casualties of war or destroying Binyamin, they were angry that the people in Yavesh Gilad did not go and did not suffer casualties, and they didn't want them to glorify themselves saying, "Oh, look, Bnei Yisrael sinned and we did not." And therefore, they felt they needed to take action with this group. Pasuk Vav, the children of Israel reconsidered concerning Binyamin, their brother, and said, "Today one tribe has been cut off from Israel. What should we do for them, for wives, since we have sworn not to give them our daughters for wives?" Meaning, they feel terrible that now they have this small group of people from Binyamin. Almost everyone has been killed, but yet they are bound by this oath that says they can no longer give their daughters to marry people of Binyamin. So how can Binyamin continue to exist? Pasachet, and they said, "Which one of the tribes of Israel did not go up to the Lord at Mitzpah? And behold, no one had come from Yavesh Gilad." So they looked at this other oath that they took, that everyone has to come to Mitzpah, and whoever doesn't will die. And they found that there was one group of people from Yavesh Gilad that did not come. And the people were counted, but behold, no one was there of the inhabitants of Yavesh Gilad. Binyamin tried to think, "Well, what could we do for Binyamin? Who could they marry so that they won't be wiped out?" Because they were stuck. They took this oath that they would not give their daughters. So they looked to see, maybe there was a family or a city who did not go to war, and therefore they would be liable to die because of the other shvuah, because whoever doesn't come to mitzvah will die. And therefore, Maybe we will have people to give binyamin. Not only that, they also believed, according to the Malbim, that because these people, specifically of Yavesh Gilad, had transgressed this oath, many people from Bnei Israel died, meaning perhaps that's why they had such terrible casualties at the beginning. So they say, oh my gosh, this is an option for the people of Binyamin. Binyamin can now marry these people because these people did not come to mitzvah. They did not take the oath regarding the marriage with Binyamin. So what do? The congregation sent there 12,000 men, which were warriors, and commanded them, saying, go and strike the inhabitants of Yavesh Gilad with the edge of the sword, including women and children. Basically, they send soldiers to go and kill the people of Yavesh Gilad. Pasigit Aleph, and this is the thing that you shall do. Every male and every woman that had relations with man, you shall destroy. But you bet, they found among the inhabitants of Yavesh Gilad 400 virgin girls that had not had relations with any man, and they brought them to the camp, to Shiloh, which is in Canaan. Yud Gimel, and the whole congregation sent and spoke to the children of Binyamin that were in Selah Rimon, and they proclaimed to them words of peace. Meaning, they told them, look, we're not going to kill you anymore. Let's make peace. And Binyamin returns at the time, and what did they do? They gave them the women that they saved from Yavesh Gilad. But unfortunately, this was not sufficient because they only had 400 girls from Yavesh Gilad. And if you'll remember, they had 600 people from Shevet Binyamin that were still alive. And the nation was upset about what had been done to Binyamin because Hashem had made a breach in the tribe of Israel, meaning through their hands there was a breach that almost an entire Shevet was wiped out. And the elders of the congregation said, what should we do for the remaining 200 as wives? Meaning, who can we give them to marry? We still have 200 people who need to find wives, since the women of Binyamin had been destroyed. Pasuk Yud Zayin, and they said, according to Bnei Israel, according to the Mefarshim, it's actually Bnei Israel that are answering. There must be an inheritance for the remnant of Binyamin so that a tribe should not be blotted out from Israel. But we may not give them wives from our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn, saying, cursed be he that gives a wife to Binyamin. Again, we're stuck in a sticky situation. We want these people to marry and have children. We want Shevet Binyamin to continue, and yet we cannot give them our daughters as wives. According to Rashi, Bnei Israel are in agreement with the elders. They say, their nachala, their land is empty, and we need to find a way or a plan for them to have children so that they can hold on to their land, and a tribe will not be eliminated. But we ourselves cannot do it because of our oath. According to the Radak, they're not referring to the land, but rather to the actual people of Binyamin. There must be an inheritance, as a Shevet cannot be wiped out, and this is a Yerusha from Yaakov Avinu, that there must be 12 tribes. So either Yerusha means the Yerusha from Yaakov Avinu, that there's 12 tribes, or actually the Yerusha, that they should have an inheritance, they should have the land that should be part of Shevet Binyamin. So the elders come up with a plan, Pasuk Yutet, and they say, behold, there's a Chag Hashem B'Shiloh, there's a festival there from time to time. And they say, oh, it's in the north of Basel, on the east side of the highway that goes from Basel to Shechem and to the south of Lebanon. And they instructed the children of Binyamin, saying, okay, here's our plan. Go lie and wait in the vineyards. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, and you will see and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in the dances, then you will go out of the vineyards, and you shall grab for yourselves, each man his wife, of the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Binyamin. Okay, so what are they advising them? Basically, go to the vineyards. When the girls come out to dance, grab one, kidnap one, and that girl will be your wife. But the Das Sofer clarifies. He says, no, grabbing only refers to the initial meeting because maybe the girls would not even consider marriage with these men. But obviously, they were only married after they gave a full consent. They weren't coerced into marrying these men. Pasuk Chaf Beis, and it should be when their fathers or their brothers come to quarrel with us. Then we will say to them, we took pity on them because we did not take for each man his wife in war. Neither you should be concerned, for you did not give them that you should be guilty. Now, according to Rashi, what are they saying? They're saying that they took pity on the people of Binyamin because they don't know what to do. We did not take for each man his wife in the war with Yavesh Gilad, right? In the war with Yavesh Gilad, they only had 400 women to give these 600 men. And so now what are we left to do? And if you're concerned about your oath, they say to the fathers and the brothers, then you have no sin. Don't worry, because you didn't actually give your daughters to these men. Since the people of Binyamin took these girls, those that took the oath of not giving their daughters, they did not violate their oath because the oath was only on giving. And since the fathers and brothers did not give these girls, they did not violate the oath. Rather, these men took the girls and then therefore it was okay. And the children of Binyamin did so, and they married wives according to their numbers of those that danced, whom they had seized, and they went and returned to their inheritance. According to Rashi in Shmuel Aleph, Shaul, the future king of Klal Yisrael, was actually among those who married of the dancers in Shiloh. And on the 15th of Av, Binyamin was allowed to intermarry with Bnei Yisrael because the oath was only concerning their children and not their grandchildren. And this then becomes a day of rejoicing. As the Mishnah in Tainis writes, Lo hayu yamim tovin liYisrael kachamisha asar ba'av. There were no better days for Klal Yisrael than the 15th of Av. It was a day of rejoicing for all because it represented unity. And we know that when Bnei Yisrael are united, that is when God is amongst us. And therefore, the day that Binyamin could once again marry into Bnei Yisrael was a day of rejoicing and a day of great joy. Chaf Dalet, and the children of Israel went from there at the time, every man to his tribe and family, and they departed from there, every man to his inheritance. Pasuk Chaf Hei, our last pasuk, Bayamim Haheim Ein Melech BeYisrael, Ish HaYashar BeEinav Yaseh. In those days, there was no king. Each man did what was right in his eyes. The fact that each man went back to his tribe is actually seen as a failure for Bnei Yisrael at this point. According to the Malbim, Bnei Yisrael should have paid attention to the atrocity that occurred here. And while everyone was still together, they should have put into place a protection plan. Perhaps they should have established a king or a shofet or someone who would have watched over them so such a thing would never again occur. But again, instead of paying attention, instead of putting a plan into action, instead of doing something, what do? They all returned home and things were as they were. Nothing changed, no differences. Everyone goes back to their shevet. Everyone goes back to their inheritance. Each person goes back to their home. And we end the sefer with this pasuk that we just saw regarding Pesel Micha. In those days, there was no king. Each person did what they saw fit. And we see again here what happens without proper guidance, what happens without proper leadership. A whole shevet can come to worship Avodah Zarah. We see extreme moral depravity, and we see misplaced justice that almost brought about the destruction of an entire shevet, an entire tribe. And so once again, we're reminded of all the atrocities that can occur when there is no leader and there is no direction. And this remains the situation until we come to the next sefer, until we come to Shmuel, when we finally have a leader and we finally have someone who can direct Bnei Yisrael in the proper way. Thank you for learning together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.